Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we'll get to the good part. It's 11 o'clock service. Nobody has to be anywhere anytime soon, so we're good, right? Grab your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to read the whole chapter, so it's a long read, but bear with me. Isaiah chapter 58, amen when you get there. Ooh. Man, one of these days, we're going to do it a little later. I've got another scripture for you. I didn't put it in the bulletin. We're going to test your speed when we get there, okay? Isaiah 58. Shout loudly. Don't hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their crime, to the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me day after day, desiring knowledge of my ways, like a nation that acted righteously, that didn't abandon their God. They ask me for righteous judgments, wanting to be close to God. Why do you fast and you do not see? Why afflict ourselves and you do not notice? Yet on your fast day, you do whatever you want and oppress all your workers. You quarrel and brawl, and then you fast. You hit each other violently with your fists. You shouldn't fast as you are doing today if you want to make your voice heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I choose? A day of self-affliction, of bending one's head like a reed, and of lying down in mourning clothing and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Isn't this the fast I choose? Releasing wicked restraints, untying the ropes of a yoke, setting free the mistreated and breaking every yoke. Isn't it sharing your bread with the hungry and bringing the homeless poor into your house, covering the naked when you see them and not hiding from your own family? Then your light will break out like the dawn and you will be healed quickly. Your own righteousness will walk before you and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and God will say, I'm here. If you remove the yoke from among you, the finger pointing, the wicked speech, if you open your heart to the hungry and provide abundantly for those who are afflicted, your light will shine in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noon. The Lord will guide you continually and provide for you, even in parched places. He will rescue your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water that won't run dry. They will rebuild ancient ruins on your account. The foundations of generations past you will restore. You will be called mender of broken walls, restorer of livable streets. If you stop trampling the Sabbath, stop doing whatever you want on my holy day and consider the Sabbath a delight, sacred to the Lord, honored and honor it. Instead of doing things your way, seeking what you want, and doing business as usual, then you will take delight in the Lord. I will let you ride on the heights of the earth. I will sustain you with the heritage of your ancestor, Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Man, it's a fantastic day. I almost hate to go into this sermon about you're doing it wrong. But, yeah, we're just going to go with it. Isaiah's talking to the Israelites here. Israelites were doing pretty good at this time. They were settled into their routines. They were comfortable. They thought things were bearable. And then Isaiah comes along, and God sends Isaiah to tell them, y'all are so messed up right now. You don't even get it. You don't even see that what you're doing is wrong. Yeah, you're fasting. You're fasting, but you're fasting for the wrong reasons, and you're not even fasting wholeheartedly. The Israelites had gotten into a routine. The Israelites had gotten comfortable. The Israelites were living their life day in and day out. They were going the temple on Saturday, and they were doing normal stuff. You know, they were following the laws, the commandments that they were raised on, and they felt like that was good. I could almost see them bragging about it. I go to temple 3 times a month. I fast regularly. I mean, you could almost hear them saying, I've got this down pat. But why would God send Isaiah to say, you're doing it wrong, if they had it down pat? Maybe it's because their heart was not in the right place. Maybe it's because they weren't giving everything they could to their routine, right? So if the Israelites were following the Old Testament laws and Isaiah was sent to them, how does Isaiah 58 relate to us? And how is it applicable to us today, right? So, Nolan's still not here, so I'm going to ask you a question, and feel free to shout out and answer. If the Israelites were following the Old Testament commandments, we were given 2 new commandments, correct? Yeah, okay, good. I heard you that time. What were those 2 commandments? Does anybody know? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. So the Israelites were following the Old Testament commands that said fast and go to temple and do all those things. We're following our commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. We've got that down, right? No problem. We're here every Sunday. It is easy to love all of you because we're in church, so we're all of the right mind, right? Everybody's happy. But is that what God calls us to? I'm going to ask you another question. Everybody here is going to have to recite this out loud with me. But in the Bible, the word love is connected to another word almost inseparably. So what is the most famous scripture in the Bible? Not your favorite, but the most famous scripture in the entire Bible. John 3:16. We're all going to say the first couple words out loud, and I'm going to stop you when we get to where I need you to stop, okay? So, 3, 2, 1. For God so loved the world that he gave. Stop. I heard, who was that? That was good. Good job, Walker. I enjoyed that. For God so loved that he gave. Love and give are so tightly intertwined, right? But what did God give? For God so loved that he gave his life for us. He gave his life so that we could be reunited with him, reconnected with him, so that we could be made whole and righteous and justified through him. And so when we hear the new commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, what is that telling us? To love God or to give God our entire heart, mind, soul, strength. Give God our lives. So the commandment we're to follow is to give God everything you have and to give to your neighbor as you would give to yourself. Now, with that in mind, does Isaiah 58 apply to us today? Do we need to hear you're doing it wrong? Do we need to hear somebody stand up and speak God's words of you're fasting, but you're not doing it right? Or better yet, you're loving, but you're not doing it right. I'm asking you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength. I'm asking you to give me your life, to devote your life to me. Not your routine, not your day-to-day activity, not just this lip service of I believe. Not just this, I go to church on Sundays, therefore I'm a Christian. But to give me your life, to devote yourself to my word, to my commandment, to my calling, to my heart, to live and be like me. And then I'm asking you, I'm commanding you, not asking. Asking is too soft, too gentle. I'm commanding you to love, to give to your neighbors as you give to yourself. I'm asking you to treat people around you the same way you would treat me. I'm asking you to be different than the world. I'm not asking you to just get in this routine of saying, hey, and it's nice to see you at work or to pass you in the library or to see you at the grocery store. I'm asking you to make a difference in the world around you by giving yourself to this understanding that we're called to be who we claim. We're called to have this life-changing belief. We're called to live this faith that we proclaim in the world around us, right? Does anybody feel like they've heard that before? Here's the test. Grab your Bible and turn to James. James, the pleasant, fun, easy-to-read book of James, correct? Everybody loves James. Everybody smiles when they read James. Nobody reads James and feels bad at all, correct? James chapter 2. Amen when you get there. All right. Y'all are pretty quick. One of these days, I'm going to put a scripture in the bulletin, and then when I get here, I'm just going to give you a totally different one. We're going to test it out. James 2, verse 14. James 2, verse 14. My brothers and sisters, what good is it if people say they have faith but do nothing to show it? Claiming to have faith cannot save anyone, can it? Imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if one of you said, go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal? What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? In the same way, faith is dead when it does not result in faithful activity. So if we claim to have this faith and it doesn't change our life, if it doesn't reflect in the way we live, in the way we dedicate and give ourselves to God, in the way we dedicate and give ourselves to the people around us, to the people God has placed in our lives, then what good is that? What good are we doing? How are we going to change the community of Foley that we live in if we're not willing to give ourselves to the church and to the people out there? What good is it if we don't be the people of God? If we do start to give ourselves to God, that's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean, if you really think about it, giving yourself to God and loving people around you is a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. And sometimes it's hard to do that. Sometimes it's hard to give up our own desires, our own comfortableness, our own safety. But what happens if we do? What happens if we do start living this way? What happens when we become the people God has called us to be and we become these givers of our life to God and the people around us? What happens? Well, if you flip back to Isaiah 58, this is the neat part. It says, then your light will break out like the dawn, and you will be healed quickly. Your own righteousness will walk before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and God will say, I am here. Could you imagine that? We cry out. We live our lives devoted to God, seeking more of God, wanting more of God, giving our time, sacrificing our only night out, our only night of off of work. We're sacrificing our time, sacrificing our being, giving to God, and we start loving the people around us, and we get in a little bit of trouble. We get a little bit uncomfortable, or we need help, and we cry out to God, and God answers and says, I am here. Imagine that. Imagine seeing the God of the Old Testament today. Imagine that God is the same God. You don't have to imagine, because he is, right? Because God was, is, and will be. That God of the Old Testament wants to be the God today, but all he requires is that we be the people he called us to be. We be the people dedicated to him, given over to him. And we be the people that loves the people around us and shows the people of this world that God is still alive today. It's not easy. It won't be easy. It won't be safe. It won't be comfortable. You will have to step out of your routine. You will have to make sacrifices for God. You will have to just be who you say you are and believe what you say you believe. But I promise you, everything in this book speaks to how God will be there with you. God will walk with you. That song, I don't know if we sang it in the garden. I think we sang it this morning. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. Oh, don't you want it? Don't you long for that connection to God? I mean, all it takes is saying, I am yours, and I'm here for you. It takes being wholehearted and not just paying lip service to this faith, to this God we believe in. All it takes is hearing our God, our Father, trusting our Father, following our Father, walking hand in hand with our Father into the world he placed us in. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so gracious. Lord, you have called each and every one of us here into your house. You have stirred in our hearts, and you have brought us together as your body. Lord, your commandments seem simple: to love you with our heart, mind, body, and soul, to love each other as we love ourselves. They sound simple, but Lord, they require a lot, and we're not always ready to give that. Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for your courage, your strength. We ask that you would call that out of us, that we could turn our entire lives over to you and follow your footsteps and to walk by your example and to love with your heart, with your heart. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, as we move into this time of silent prayer, allow God to speak to you. Allow God to answer you with, I am here. Ask him what you need to work on. Ask him what you're doing wrong and how you can do it better. because we all have that. And just let Him speak to you.